Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Good morning, and welcome to church this morning. Wonderful to have you listening. It's been such a different season, hasn't it? It's been such a different season for all of us. Discontent in so many people. You can feel it, when you go to the grocery store, you can feel it when you're in public, and, so many different, unprecedented things that are happening here in our culture. Certainly that I've not seen in my lifetime, and we know that many people go through a lot of pain in their lifetimes. So one of the things about our faith is our faith doesn't sort of promise us painlessness. As a matter of fact, it promises us that no matter what predicament we find ourselves in, God will get us through those things. That's the promise of God. Beyond this life is eternal life. It seems like the older I've gotten and the more that I've become, the more that I've allowed God's word and thinking about God, knowing a little bit of philosophy. I'm not a philosopher, but not even really a theologian, but I'm doctrinally astute and grounded and sort of pretty conservative, I guess you'd say. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is the word of God, and not embarrassed or ashamed to say that, but it just seems like the longer that I have stayed true to the essential tenets of historic Christianity, the more vibrant my faith has become, the more I believe. I believe more than when I started. At 26 years old, I knelt on a pallet and received Jesus Christ back into my life as sort of the, the point of life that he is not just something special. He is the capital T truth. But when you fall in love with Jesus, there's such a depth to who he is. And you find yourself growing deeper and deeper as a human being. And you find yourself more and more convinced of this truth that you really want to be a part of something good. In my particular generation, I want to be a part of something good, something that's promoting this message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John 3:16, you've heard it before. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's terrifying. That means that if you kind of turn that around, that there's a good chance that you could perish. I mean, perish is, that's a pretty hardcore word, especially when you look into what the scripture allows us to believe, that there is no cessation of existence for anyone, that you are created in the image and likeness of God, and God is a being that goes on and on and on. And the parish word, you know, many times the New Testament word for that they translate hell is the word Gehenna in the original, and it was like sort of the smoldering, consistently rancid, burning garbage dump of Jerusalem was the kind of picture that was supposed to be imprinted on people's minds, you know, when the Lord would talk about that refusing to consider Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Jesus Christ as Lord, could be that serious, that, you know, you're in danger of an eternity apart from God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And one thing I can promise you, that eternity is not, you know, fluffy clouds and little naked cherubs with harps. I can promise you that there will be purpose, that there will be joy, that there will be no more sorrow, that there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more loss of loved ones. There's a great and wonderful promise for those who consider and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's what we're doing here. So I want to read from John chapter 13. And this does play kind of into what we're talking about. It says, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You know, that word love is amazing, you know, and that we can believe in a God of love, that we really can, in fact, believe in a God of love, that love, that agape word, you know, it's defined in 1 Corinthians 13 what love is. Love is patient and it's kind and it's not puffed up, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, does not behave irrationally, you know. There's just so many wonderful qualities of what God's love is. And God's love, frankly, is a love that passes through us and can be magnified through the lens that we carry in our hearts, the lens of Jesus Christ that we carry in our hearts. And so this magnification of God's love, as we carry God's love in our heart, can be absolutely wonderful. We can be a blessing to the world. And listen, people are scared. People are afraid. Many people are not okay right now. And there has to be someone, there has to be people who love enough to inspire and to encourage and to let folks know it's going to be okay, to let folks know that God is in control and there's an answer. I cannot promise you, you know, the old song said, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden, you know, not here on earth. And it is good to enjoy good times here on earth, but I'm going to tell you that Rose Garden certainly exists in eternity. And man, does that seem like a far off promise? Depending on what age you are, sometimes it's more far off than others, but Jesus will protect you. He'll heal you. Jesus said, the works that I do also, and greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. I mean, we should never forget that there's a potential in the child of God to walk in the grace and the power and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, greater works than these will you do. Why? Because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. And if you're on Jesus' good side, if you're in Jesus' camp, he desires to do good through you. He desires to do good in you. He desires to bless others through you. And so for all the pain and the heartache that exists in our world today, you can be a light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world when he was here. He also said, you are the light of the world. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And that salt means so much. You bring flavor. You know, you bring what? Preservation. You bring, there's a medicinal quality to salt. You know, so you swish your mouth with salt water and you know, I mean, there's so many things that salt is a wonderful substance. Now, over-saltiness, you know, you turn into Lot's wife. And that's when you get stuck between two places, right? She's looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah, where she's leaving, and she's going into a place where she doesn't know about yet. And she's like, well, I kind of liked it back there in Sodom, and I'm not really kind of sure I really, but yet she's filled with salt. She's filled with the Word of God. And because she's filled with the Word of God, she gets kind of stuck and turns into a pillar of salt. That's no movement. And we recognize that in the Ezekiel, it talks about the river of God that flows out from underneath the throne of God. And it flows all the way down to the sea. And it says the only place where there isn't any life is along the banks where the marshes are, and the water is not moving at all. And that, it says it becomes too salty so that nothing can grow there. So although we're the salt of the world, salt of the earth, we're expected to keep on moving. So he's at the Last Supper. They're eating the Last Supper, verse 2 of John 13. When supper ended, the devil already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel, he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And so Jesus took on, in that dirty, dusty part of the world, arid, with lots of animals everywhere, ostensibly open sandals, and probably didn't have the kind of nice socks that we had today. So one of the jobs of the lowest servant in the household was to wash the feet of guests that came. And Jesus took off his garments and put on a towel around himself, which was the garb of a servant, of the lowest servant. He took a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Now, listen, all of this is prophetic. All of this is saying something to us. He's not just showing us that he will wash our feet, which he does wash our feet, and we're going to talk about how. But Peter was, you know, he's just a wonderful guy. He's like, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. I should be washing your feet. You know, you can't wash my feet. And Peter is good. And if we didn't have Peter, a lot of these questions wouldn't have been asked. So we wouldn't really find out, like, what the whole point was. Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing now, you don't understand, but you will know after this. Peter said, you will never wash my feet. I would never let you lower yourself and wash my feet. Peter loved Jesus. He said, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. That's fine. I don't have to wash your feet, but you know, I'm not going to make me wash your feet. But if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. You can leave now. And Simon Peter said to him, it just sounds so, it's so human. Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You know, he was just that humble a guy that he was not going to allow Jesus to wash his feet. But then if Jesus had to wash him or else he would have nothing to do with him, Peter's saying, all right, then if you're going to wash me, then wash all of me, my hands and my head. Right? It's so beautiful. And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, "You are not all clean." So Jesus said, if you're born again, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're born again and you follow through, you're baptized in Jesus, you're clean, but you still have to go out into the world and you have to walk the streets and you have to hear the vulgarity and the anger and the people who are so heavy-hearted right now that they're just biting each other in anger and fights and disagreements and sadness and fear, and so many things are attacking people right now, right? It's going to make your feet a little dirty, that part that goes out into the world. Now, it's not going to kill you. That little bit of dirt on your feet is not going to kill you. However, if you let it continue to build up, you'll eventually get a little cut. You'll get an infection. They may end up having to cut your foot off. You may end up dying if you don't wash your feet. And Jesus washed his disciples' feet. So when he had washed the feet, this is verse 12, taken his garments, and he put his garments back on and sat down again. He says, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for that's what I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Okay? He's saying, listen, the master is the master. He's the one who sends people out. And I am your master and your teacher. You said well, because that's what I am. If I have lowered myself and washed your feet, I want you to wash one another's feet as well. And that feels like a paradox. I want you to wash. Okay, guys, line up. Let me wash your feet. But he's talking in prophetic talk. This was a prophetic act that he was doing in a prophetic way. Because it's not our physical feet that Jesus is so worried about. It's our souls. Because listen, you watch the TV commercial. You see the TV shows that are very ungodly. You have conversations with people who are very ungodly. You have your own inner thought life. And there are spiritual aspects to our life that are planting fear, planting aggravation, planting anger, planting this sense of being destabilized in this day, in this time, in this hour. And Jesus is saying, that's the thing that you have to be careful of. Because if that dirt builds up in you, you will become sort of overtaken by that kind of thinking. The Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Jesus said, whatever goes into a man, you can eat and drink, whatever goes into a man, that doesn't defile him. It says, whatever comes out of a man, out of a person, that's what defiles him. So if you eat and drink things that are not godly, that are bad for your mind, your heart, your soul, right? Sooner or later, that stuff is going to start coming out of your mouth. And Jesus said, that should not be. And he said, but I'm not speaking concerning all of you. I know who I've chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. And he's talking about Judas. And now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. It all has to do with believing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that you may believe that I am He. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives, whoever sends me, He who receives whomever I send receives me. He who receives whomever I send receives me. He who receives whomever I send receives me. That's really, really important. Because you know what? I have a wonderful church and they're wonderful people and they're very, very nice to me. And sometimes I'm sure nicer than I deserve. But you know what? Jesus said, whoever receives whom I send receives me. And you know what? Some pastors are not treated well. And some ministers and some evangelists and some people who really do represent Jesus well are not received well. But he said, if you receive them well, you're actually receiving me. It's important. It says, I'm telling you this before it comes, that when it does come to pass, that you may believe that I am he. When Jesus had done these things, he was troubled in his spirit, and he testified, saying, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you is going to betray me. Then the disciple looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. And I'm going to skip over from there for time's sake. And I want to show you the key to that little paradox of foot washing, okay? Because he's troubled. He loves Judas. Judas kept the money box, even though he was stealing from it. He was troubled. And as a pastor, sometimes I feel I can associate with that, not on Jesus' level. I'm not on Jesus' level. I'm not pretending to be. I'm just a guy who loves the Lord a lot, and he's given me the opportunity to represent him in Margaretville. And for 29 years, I've been boasting about Jesus to anybody who cares to listen, because I think Jesus is the best there is. So, but let me just jump over two chapters to John 15. Now, they're still in the Last Supper, and they're still really in the same discourse. And Jesus says the following. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That means there's somebody who's working on pruning and making sure. There was a time when we owned a piece of property, our church owned a piece of property, and there was a vineyard there. And I had a little taste of what it is to be a vine dresser. And me no likey. Wasn't so good at it because I didn't know anything about it, to be very honest with you. But Jesus says, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So you're saying, okay, I'm going to bear fruit. Therefore, God doesn't have to like mess with me. He doesn't have to challenge me or anything. Wrong. If you don't bear fruit, you're taken away. But if you do bear fruit, it's just as painful because you're pruned. You're cut down to size. You ever see a tree that's been pruned? We had apple orchards too, and they would come out, the Catskill Forest Association would come out and prune the trees, and they'd get all a little skinny and skimpy looking. But by the end of the growing season, they'd be full and they'd be filled with heavy with fruit, right? So the pruning is important, that you go through some difficult times so that you can bear more fruit. It's about bearing fruit. The man who was a leader to me, really my pastor in this age that I'm in now, his name is John Kelly, and he always used this proverb that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And that's not, you don't like to hear that, but if somebody really loves you, honestly, you know, correction is not rejection. Correction is something that we should all embrace the concept of being corrected and doing life better. But listen, he says after that, he said he prunes, God, the Father prunes that it may bear more fruit. And then he says this, you all are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That's the key. Two chapters later, in the same discourse, after talking about washing their feet, and in fact, washing their feet, he says, the reason you're clean is because of the words I have spoken to you. It's God's word that cleanses you. It's God's word that causes your heart, your soul to be cleansed. Believing it, receiving it, drinking it, eating it, living it, God's word is the cleansing agent. You are all clean now because of the words I have spoken to you. That's why I tell people, if you get saved, man, read Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read Jesus, read Jesus, read Jesus, read Jesus. A whole lot of good stuff in the Old Testament, whole lot of good stuff in the epistles and the rest of the New Testament. Very, very important. I promise you, you'll get to it. But get to know Jesus. Get to know the biographies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be well with you, I promise. You will meet somebody and get to know somebody unlike anyone you've ever met before, who says things that you will blow your mind if you'll take enough time to really drink in the word of the Lord. So he says, finally, I'm finished with this, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide in Jesus Christ. Abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to him. Live in him. Learn of him. Abide in Jesus Christ. And you know what? This time that we're going through can be the greatest training period the church has ever had. It can be the greatest period of learning and growing, being pruned a little bit. You know, perhaps being pruned a little bit, but learning how to walk in God's love to our neighbor. Jesus said the most important commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second is like it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that wonderful that we get to love our neighbor even when the Bible says that herein is love. This is in 1 John. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He gave his son to die for our sins. It's not that all of our neighbors love us. It's that we love them. You see? And then we give them love and kindness. And in that, Jesus said, by this will all men know that you belong to me, by your love one for another. So this is Bob Englehart, and I hope that you're inspired and encouraged by these words. Come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're in the Lord, you know, press on. Do well. Make the Master pleased. He's pleased with you. Father, in Jesus' name, bless our audience this morning. Make them, Father, to be the top and not the bottom, the beginning and not the end. Father, bless them in the city and in the country. Father, protect them from this COVID. Protect us on our hearts, Lord God, from becoming bitter during this difficult season we're going through. We love you and praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.